Okay. So that's the Laplacian in RD. K is a positive coefficient. And I will look at this equation in the Cauchy problem. This is given. And so that the Kolmogorov, Petrovsky, Piskunov equation, which in the case where K is a constant, so K is positive, has been introduced by Kolmogorov, Petrovsky, and Piskunov, and also Fischer in 1937. My reference will be not very recent. So we are interested in the case where U0 takes values between 0 and 1. So you start with this initial condition. And so if you look at this equation, you have a diffusion term and you have a nonlinear term. And the diffusion just spread out the things. And the nonlinear terms does some reaction operation. From which you see that it's positive between 0 and 1, change sign at those points. And if you start like this, then the solution UTX will remain in 0, 1. And so remember, K is positive. And let me do that even. And so u equal to 0, the constant function u equal to 0 in space is an equilibrium of this equation, as well as the constant function u equal to 1. The first one is stable, u equal to 0 is stable, and the second one is unstable. So it means that, I'm dealing with d dimension. So I will start typically with U0, which is like that. So that's 1, that's 0. And U0 will be equal to 1, except for a certain neighborhood of 0. We does not have to put that 0 here. So that's my U0. And since 0 is stable and 1 is unstable, what will happen is that this part will lower to 0. This walls, I will call that the front, will move away. And the stable phase, 0, will invade the unstable phase, 1. And the typical picture, which is known in many cases, is that you have a ballistic motion for the front, or that part which starts close to 0 and goes to 1. So you have a front moving at a certain speed. That's the typical picture, and it's known for a long time that there is a huge literature on this kind of model. Of course, in the case when K is constant, you know a lot of things. You know that C star is the square root of 2. At time t, the function u of t and x look like that. You have almost 0 in the ball of radius C star T around 0. And you have a sharp transition to 1. And so this front is moving at a speed C star. So this is the case for constant C. No, I'm just talking in a very general way. That's not in dimension one. I just take an initial condition, which is essentially a smoothened version of the indicator function, the complement of the indicator function of the unit ball in zero. Okay. Now I want to address multidimensional thing. Well, I don't want to run into this type of question for the moment. No, I don't know. Okay. I will stay at a coarser level. So let me move to some references. So in the constant case, k equal to constant. In the constant case, a lot of thing is known. So I told you C star is square root of 2. There is a nice paper by McKean in the 75, which gives a fine probabilistic approach to this question. And in the around a few years after, Bramson get, so it was in 80-something, 85, Maury Bramson get the correction of the front location compared to the typical value, which is square root of 2 times t at time t. These are one-dimensional results. Okay. That's for dimension one. Now, let me mention there are some other probabilistic approach by Friedling, Gartner in the 80s. Mark Friedling, for instance, studies situation where the diffusion operator is more complicated, or also situation where K is in a random medium, and I will discuss the case of the random medium later on. In the case of random medium, let me mention also the case where K is a K of X and omega. So the rate is a random field in space, and stationary and ergodic. Let me mention a few results. So that there is a result of Lee and Torcaso in 98, which proved that there is a speed of propagation. They don't say much about it. There are results of Chin. And result of Nolan, recent result of James Nolan, who gives the existence in one dimension. Dimensions larger than one. And in one dimension, what Nolan does is to prove the Gaussian fluctuation of the front with respect to the typical speed. So Gaussian fluctuation. What I want to discuss is the situation where the rate is also depending on the time. So K will be time space dependent and random, and in principle it could be a stationary ergodic process with these dependents, but I will make a more precise assumption to develop what I want to tell you. So this is what we will consider, and our interest is about understanding the existence of a limiting speed for the propagation front, and second, what is the effect of the randomness on it, and third, we would like to connect this with the subject of this workshop, that is disordered system and directed polymers, so we will do that, and understand what is the counterpart of the phase transition in directed polymers on the speed. So that's the program of what I'm going to discuss. So let me come into these details. So first, that's a joint work with Enrico Presutti from Roma, which is still in progress. And so KTX is a random field, stationary and ergodic in space, and the best way to introduce it is to take, that's in fact the model we are considering, enlargement of Poisson points. So you have some catalyzers which are distributed in a Poisson manner, and whenever you go through that catalyzer, you are allowed to branch, or to branch a little more. So let me take K, but this KTX, an omega, will be equal to 1 plus beta, beta is a positive parameter, times the sum over I, ranging over the Poisson point. That will be Poisson point in Tx. So you have Tx, and there are some Poisson points here and there, which are distributed uniformly, I mean according to the measure, the intensity measure dt dx. Okay. And here you take some interaction, so the k is a k of tx. Let me forget about the omega. Where you can think to phi as a smooth inversion of the indicator function of balls of radius 1, both in time and space. Okay, in order to have nice properties to the solution, if you want the solution to be smooth, then you need phi to be smooth. So that's why you want to do something a little different to just putting disks in time and space around those Poisson points. But this is the right picture. And so what does it mean is that you have a population which is moving in a Brownian fashion, and it gets some branching, which is given by this k, if it goes through the point here x. And this amount of branching is at least 1 plus so beta times the number of Poisson points which is seen at that time. So if you are in a place where you have a lot of Poisson points, you know, all the disks have the same, then you will have a good chance to multiply quickly, and there will be hot spots like that in space, time, where there are so many catalysts that the population will be able to grow. Okay. So let me tell you about the assumptions on phi that I will not write. Phi will be rotation invariant in space. Okay. And it will be symmetric in time. Positive, of course, bounded support. That's the true assumption, but let's keep in mind this kind of picture. That's as efficient. Okay, so that's the particular model I would be considering. So let me tell you about the probabilistic representation of the solution U So you introduce a branching Brownian motion I will call it dBn omega t x if necessary. T is a time horizon, deterministic time which is fixed. So there will be not one branching Brownian motion but a family depending on t. And it will be defined as follows. There is one ancestor at time zero. Let's say at x at time zero. The ancestor as well as the descendants will move independently according to Brownian motion. Standard Brownian motion. And they branch in the following way. They branch into two particles. They branch into two particles with a rate k of capital T minus little t x if they are at location x at time t. So I will abbreviate this saying that they are in space-time location Tx. Okay, so notice that I have first to choose a capital T, time horizon, and then second to make the branching population, to define the branching population. And then what happened is that, so let me say that notation for expectation for this guy will be E omega XT. And this function, UTX, is just the expectation for this branching Brownian motion, depending on the time horizon little t. Of the product for I less than capital N of t, that's the number of the population size of branching Brownian motion t omega x with a little t at time t. The total one, and I will call xi the location at final time of the ith guy in the population, and you make the product of the u0. So you have this representation for utx. The initial condition. Okay. Yes. You start from point X and you run your population during the amount of time which is necessary. You use the reversed rate of branching, and then you pick up at time t the initial condition. So that's a fact. It's better for us, we are used to directed polymers, to make a transformation. So let's just make a time reversal. Because when I say that I branch into particles, I die. The parent dies immediately. Okay? So it dies. but there are two other guys who are coming at the same place and moving independently. So we perform a time reversal in the sense that we will be defining or playing with the BBM omega x without time horizon, which will satisfy the same thing as before, except that, so you start with one ancestor at the point x, you move and the descendants move like independent Brownian motion, but the rate of branching will be ktx now, except rate, branching rate ktx, a particle at tx as the rate of branching, which is this ktx. So it's not really necessary to do this, but it makes things simpler. So yeah, what can we do with that? Well, we can transform the we can transform the previous quantity, and we can say that let me give a name. This process will have expectation denoted by e omega x without the time horizon as a superscript. And for all t, the true solution will be equal in low as a process indexed in by the space variable as this quantity, which is kind of simpler. The same expectation, but under the e omega x measure, product of I less than nt of u0 of x I. So I did not mention the following fact. Imagine that you have u0, which is u0 of x equal to which is equal to this function, which is 1 e to the minus eta on the unit ball centered at 0. Okay, that's an initial condition allowed. Then what you get is the Laplace transform for this BBM guy, the Laplace transform of the number of particles at time t inside the ball 0, 1. So let me introduce that notation that I will use later. Before, I told you that n of t is the total size. Nta is the number of guys, of individuals in the set A at time t. Okay? So, and of course, this identity in low, which is true if you fix t as process indexed by the space, comes from the fact that. Yeah.
The value there in the middle in the B01.
E to the minus eta. Yeah, the eta which is there. Okay. Okay, so you are just counting the number, looking at the number of particles which hit the okay, so this equality comes from the fact that, that there is a time reversal which is done from the final time. So it just appeals to the property that the interaction function phi, which is there, is invariant by the change of the sign in time, and also in the fact that the Poisson process has the same property in them. So now we are in good shape to discuss the relation with the subject of the conference, so the directed polymers. So if you look now at the so you see what happened. This kind of quantity is very important. So just look at the expectation for the branching population, branching Brownian motion of the population size at time t. Then what you get is just the expectation for a Brownian motion, only one starting at x, of e to the integral from 0 to t of k s ds ds. Okay, that's an easy computation. And so you recognize on the right the partition function of the directed polymer in the environment which is given by the Poisson field. Of course, I can do the same if I don't look at the total size, but at the number of individuals in a set A, and I will get an indicator function here to compute my integral. There is something which is useful also to introduce, is to introduce drift alpha, because everything what I have done, I can repeat it with Brownian motion with drift. So let me just introduce a notation. So I will denote with superscript alpha, don't mix up with the t that I had before, the case when the motion is the Brownian motion with drift alpha. Okay. So let's introduce the following free energy, the limit when t tends to infinity of 1 over t log of expectation of n t. And which exists as by standard method. And this would be denoted by p. It's a function of two variables, alpha and beta. The beta is this intensity of the the intensity coefficient up there. When did I start it? Okay, so I still have 10 minutes. Okay. So that's a partition function of the of a polymer model, as I said before. And it's important because it gives the information about the growth rate. So let me talk about the mean growth rate. So let's put it like that. First I need to introduce two things. So this P is comparable via Jensen inequalities to two quantities. The first one is the annealed free energy, so when you put the expectation over the medium inside the logarithm. So this will be denoted by lambda alpha beta, so that the annealed polymer free energy. And again by Jensen, P of alpha beta can be compared to an homogeneous medium where the coefficient k, the branching rate, the reaction rate k, is average. This expectation is respect to the Poisson point process. And it, the k depends on t and x, but the expectation does not. So you have two bounds for the free energy. Now, to talk about the mean gray throat, you define for v in Rb, which is a candidate for the velocity, a function of v and beta, which is the Legendre transform of P, almost the Legendre transform of P. So the infimum of alpha of P alpha beta plus alpha squared divided by 2 plus alpha dot v. So I recall that one assumption on psi is that it is rotation invariant in space. So it means that P itself will be rotation invariant in the alpha variable. Alpha is a vector in Rd, so it just depends on the norm of alpha. And so J has the same property. So these are, now we can give the, information about the population size, which will be useful to use the representation formula, the probabilistic representation. So there is a step which goes like that. If you take a V for which J is negative, so it's a subcritical branching in this sense, then you can show that the P omega minus VT probability for NT of the ball 0, 1 larger than 1 goes to 0 in probability when t tends to infinity, which means that if you take this with this property, then if you start from minus vt and you want to hit the target, then you will miss it. You will not make it. And now if you take J of V and beta positive, what happens is that starting from minus VT and running your branching Brownian motion up to time T, and wondering and asking the question, how many people do you send in the ball 0, 1 at the final time? Then, less than k, let me put it like that, tends to 0 in probability. So you can prove this. And you can have a graph. So on the number of particles which will hit the target, and so contribute to the probabilistic representation that I have given. So it's a question about branching random walk or Brownian motion in time-space random environment. And there is a directional aspect because you want to go in a direction follow speed v. And it means that Okay, what we do for one of the two bounds, actually the second one, which is the second statement, is that we compare it with a branching process in time-dependent environment without any space. And we use results of for such process. So with this lemma, you can identify what is the speed. So recalling this fact that the function j depends only on the norm, you see that if you look at S of t, which is the set of points, the random set of points such that at the time t, so I come back to the solution u of the equation, and you can define the front at time t as let's say, or the excited part at time t as the set where the solution is less than a certain number between 0 and 1. I have taken 1/2, but there is nothing special about 1/2. Then with this lemma, you can prove that the distance of this set ST divided by T to the Euclidean ball centered at 0 and radius t star tends to 0 when t tends to infinity in probability, where c star is just the value of v, or the norm of v, which makes j equal to 0. So c star, after some computation, you find that it's the inf, although alpha non-zero, of t alpha beta divided by norm of alpha plus norm of alpha divided by 2. Now, you can look at this c star as a function of beta, of course. Because you have bound on P, you have information about, you have bound on C star. There is a lower bound, which is C minus of beta, which is just square root of 2 expectation of K. No, there is something fishy here. That was a mistake. And you have an upper bound, which is C plus of beta, equal to the same formula, but with a lambda instead of a P, with the annealed free energy rather than the quenched free energy. Okay. So you have this kind of estimate, where you see that the effect of the hotspots make you to do something which is much better than just replacing k, the inhomogeneous rate of branching, by a constant one, which is obtained in just averaging over the medium. And you have a bound, which is of course of interest, because it is connected to the phase transition question. Since we know that here we have an equality in some, say, weak disorder regime, and we have an inequality in some strong disorder regime. When the when beta is big enough, then you will have an inequality here. And we want to see what happens there. So the I will not describe in full what all the things there. I will rather say that in the case when this coefficient k is degenerate, or the function phi is degenerate, so imagine that we replace phi tx by, or dt, by delta 0 of dt times indicator function for x less than 1. That is, the enlargement of the Poisson points have zero depth in time, but some depth in space. In this case, it is clear that there will be a phase transition phenomena for the speed. So in this case, the lambda quantity is explicit. It's a function of alpha and beta that you can write easily. And you see there is a phase transition that is in dimension larger than 3. For small beta, you have C star of beta equal to lambda, no, C plus of beta, which is an analytic function of beta. And for large beta, it's C star of beta is strictly smaller than C plus of beta. Now, just a word of second theorem I will not tell you. I will not try. For the general case, so if we try to perturb this situation, that is, we make some width in the time component for the interaction, then this should be preserved. And we know how to prove, the two questions, that is, for large beta, you have discrepancy. The function C plus of beta is analytic. And we are still on the way with Enrico Pressutti to prove that for small beta, you have equality. What is the difficulty? The difficulties are just that whenever you have some width of interaction in time, then you introduce time correlations and things become an explicit. Lambda is just Gibbs variational formula. And okay, it makes the things very uneasy, and the annealed measure is also complicated. I should stop there. Thank you very much.